Turn to John 7. John 7. I want to look a little bit more at the thought that I dealt with the other day, dealing with the questions from the answer, number 97B. So Jesus asked another question. Begin reading in verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, nor whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Here's the question. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. You ask another question we're not dealing with right now. Why go ye about to kill me? Jesus asked the question. He knew the answer. I heard somebody say just recently that the Lord asked questions, but he didn't need to have the answer. I agree with that. That's what I've said more than 90 times now. He asked the question, did not Moses give you the law? That's the question. The Lord worked through Moses, those first five books, called the law, the Pentateuch, the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the books of Psalms, or the Psalms. And the Lord is pointing toward the Bible, toward the Word of God. And he said, did not Moses give you the Bible, the Word, the Scripture? And I use the word or the thought, our friend has given us a present, the Bible. Moses, no doubt it didn't come from him, but it came through him. And not only our friend has given us a present, but our flesh has given us a problem. What did Jesus say? He said, did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Well, I can point my little bony finger at them, but I got to point my three bony fingers back at me. And my flesh, just like their flesh, gives me a problem. I want to do what the Bible says. I want to not do what the Bible condemns or restricts, but I find myself, my flesh, giving me a problem. Not only our friend has given us a present and our flesh has given us a problem, but our Father has given us a promise. And I dealt with that also. In Psalm 119, verse 162, the psalmist said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Jesus is pointing to the Bible, to the Word of God. And he's pointing to that scripture because that's supposed to be our rule book, our guidebook, our comfort book, our place of haven, that place where we go. It is something God has given us. And the psalmist surely didn't seem to identify with that. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth. That word find means he's been looking. He's been searching it out. In that particular place, we do not know if he was having an issue or a problem or what, but we know this, he went to the Word to find some help for what he's going through. I recommend the same. I guess we need to say Jesus did too. He said he's not just bringing up a question without an end or out of reason. He is saying, did not Moses give you the word? Did he not give you the law? And if he did, there's a reason for it. The psalmist said, I have Rejoice in thy word is one that findeth great spoil. That word spoil means to go out and scavenge the dead enemy. You wipe out the enemy, dead bodies lying all over the ground. And part of the law, part of the rules said you who are the victor can go and plunder the one that's defeated. Well, now that sounds awful bad. Going from dead body to dead body, getting what they've got. But I'll tell you one thing, there's great riches in it. And the psalmist said, that's what I'm like, going to the Word of God. And I think, well, what a comparison, what a picture to paint. Going from dead enemy, dead body to dead body. And when you think about that, you think, how horrible. But what about this? How horrible it is. The circumstance of going from body to body depends on who your enemy is. Now, if they're a wicked enemy, be honest, I'm glad they're dead. And to be honest, if there's some good we can get from plundering, if there's a victory we can have that we can enjoy by defeating them, I'm all for it. But the psalmist said, that's what it's like to go to the Word of God and to get help from it. It's like getting treasure off your enemy. I said already, it's not so bad going from body to body if those are wicked and ungodly people. And I sure would like to have victory over some enemies in my life. How about you? Wouldn't you like to have victory over depression or pride or impatience or lust or greed or jealousy? Some pretty wicked enemies. And the psalmist said, the Lord said through the psalmist, I rejoice when I get victory over those enemies. And it all points back to the Word of God. That's where the victory comes from. So I want to say, number four, I have mentioned our friend gives us a present, and our flesh gives us a problem, and our father gives us a promise. Let me mention this, and I'll probably be done with this question. Our faithfulness gives us a power. Now, it may sound strange. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Notice what Jesus said. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me? He is saying, you don't keep the law. You don't do what the Father told you to do. Look back in verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. All the way through this scripture, the main thought is doing what God said in this book. Doing God's will. And he says to them, you ain't doing it. You brag about knowing the law and being aware of the law, being informed of the law. You don't even keep the law. And he says, if those who will do his will do it, God will make sure they're rewarded. I'm saying, faithfulness produces in us power. Faithfulness to doing what God's word says. Faithfulness to doing what the Bible says. Being true to the Bible. Not what I want, not what I desire, not what comes easy, not what everybody else is doing, but what does that book say? That's what Jesus is pointing his finger to. And I believe with all my heart in these verses that we will go through in just a second, they tell us our faithfulness to the Word of God gives us a power. Being faithful to the Word gives us the power to learn. Did you hear what he said in verse 17? If any man will do his will, I'm using the word faithful, being faithful to his will, to his word. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. He says, if you'll be faithful to that word, he will teach you that word. If you will dig in this Bible and believe this Bible and live this Bible, live out this Bible in daily life, he will teach you what it says, and you will know if that's of God or something else. It's a power that he gives us to, I should say, to those who are faithful. Learning means receiving information. There's things I know, there's things I've learned by reading books, by reading words. I have become informed. There are things I know now that I did not used to know. I have learned by studying, reading. But I also have learned some things, not just by reading or studying, but by experience. I guess I've learned what doesn't work more than what I have learned what does work by experience. But that's the way we learn, by exposure to information and by living out life. But not when it comes to the Word of God. Now, we can read it, and I hope we do. And we can live it out and practice it, and I hope we do. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't open our eyes, we won't get a thing. It will go over our heads. It will be, I don't want to say this, but I'll say it and explain it. It'll be useless. We won't get anything. Now, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to read. I read a lot of times this Bible and don't understand what it's saying. You know what? I keep on reading, keep on studying. I'm talking tonight about being faithful to the Word of God. And when we're faithful to this Bible, it produces in us the power, the ability to learn. To learn what the Bible says, to learn what God wants, to learn what God demands. Psalmist again, Psalm 119. Verse 18, open thou my eyes. He knew what I was talking about. Maybe I'd better say it like this. I know what he's talking about. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. He said, Lord, I can read it, but if you don't open my eyes, I'll not get it. Oh, God, show me. Oh, Lord, open my eyes. Paul said it like this, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He said, if you'll do what that book says, I'll make sure you know. You'll learn it. You'll understand it. And that's what Paul's dealing with. He said, we don't receive this book, this truth, these scriptures, by natural means. You don't sign up for the college course and get it because you signed up for the college course. And the professor's really smart, and he's really studied, and he really knows, and he tells you in simple terms. That's not how you get it. You get it because the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. And he said, the natural man, that unsaved man, that unbeliever, he can't get it at all. It's foolishness to him. That's why lost people don't get us. Think, are you really in church on a Wednesday night? Have you lost your mind? Are you out of your gourd? They don't get it. And we read this Bible and our eyes light up. And they say, what in the world are you finding that book? So interesting. They don't get it. Because it takes the Holy Spirit to open it, to reveal it. It's spiritually discerned. We realize tonight the Holy Spirit has to open our eyes. Jesus said to those who did not know him, search the scripture, for you think in them you think you find eternal life, but they are they which testify me. They knew the Old Testament from cover to cover, but they missed it because the Holy Spirit didn't open their eyes. They didn't get it. John 16:13, Jesus again said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He said, I'll send the other comforter. He's a teacher. And if you'll listen to him, you get in that book, you get that book in your heart, and as you're being faithful to it, the Holy Spirit will show it to you. The Spirit of truth will open it up to you. And 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, which you have received of him, abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now hold on now, that doesn't mean we don't need Bible teachers, because the Lord taught and preached. And the apostles and the Old Testament prophets, all the way through the Bible, we find preachers and prophets and evangelists and missionaries who are giving out the word. So when he said, you don't need any man to teach you, he's not saying like some do, I don't need nobody, I don't have to go to church, all I could do is read it myself. That's not what he's saying, but what he is saying, if you don't have anybody, if you'll be faithful to this book and give God some time and give yourself some time, he said, the Holy Spirit will open your eyes. Boy, if that's ever happened to you, you know what I'm talking about. Pour through a verse, through some scripture, and try and figure out what in the world it says. And then all of a sudden, boom, the Holy Spirit shows you. I'm talking about Jesus said that faithfulness gives you a power and ability. Being faithful to this word gives us the power to learn. By the way, I'm trying to stress the faithfulness part of it. Not pick it up, bring it to church, lay it down the next Sunday, but faithfully getting in this book, getting this book in us. He said, I'll open your eyes when you do it. I'll give it to you. I'll teach it to you. And that means if we don't, he won't. If we don't stay in this book, if we don't devour this book, we don't have this promise of being taught, of learning. I'm talking tonight about our faithfulness gives us a power. Being faithful to the word. Jesus said, Moses gave you the law, and you don't even obey the law. So I'm talking about, well, what happens if we do obey the law? What happens if we do stay faithful to this book? Well, it gives us the power to learn. It also gives us the power to love. I sure would like to have some of that. Notice what Jesus said in verse 19. Why go ye about to kill me? Well, I'll just tell you one thing. I could explain that verse much past the time I have allotted to me tonight. But I'll say one thing. It ain't got nothing to do with love. Them wanting to kill him, trying to kill him, set on killing him, it does not mean they loved him. And the reason he explained it, you don't obey my law. You don't love the Bible. You can't love me if you don't love the Bible. Are you getting it? He's talking about this Bible, the importance of the Bible. It has the power, when we're faithful to it, it has the power to teach us to learn, to help us to love. Because love isn't natural. Selfishness is. It's easier to put ourselves first, defend ourselves, stand up for ourselves, demand our right, push everybody else aside. But that's not love. Love is what Jesus showed when on the cross he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's love. And you know, at least part of the reason, I know he was God, I understand that. No, he couldn't sin, but you know what? I see in his life the fact that he walked the Word. He did what the Bible said. And he sure did love. Why did he pray like that? Why did he pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," to the about the bunch that just crucified him, in the process of crucifying him? And they're out there now still laughing and mocking as he bleeds in torment. Love? I'm not so sure I'd love them. I'd want to get off that cross and I'd want to smite them. If I was God and he was, and I could smite them and he could, I'd smite them. They'd be dead. They'd be in hell. You see, I don't love like he loves. And that's what we need. We need love. And a part of what the Bible's for is just to get into it and help it to teach us to love, to let it live through us and love like Jesus did and love like Stephen did. He was cast out of the city and stoned. And he said, "Lord, lay not this sin on their charge." Some of these people in the Bible sure didn't know about love. The Old Testament Joseph, after he was mistreated and abused up and down roller coaster, he said, "You meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good." And he blessed his brothers. I'd have made them pay a little bit before I blessed them, I guarantee you that. Because I don't love like Joseph did. This Bible, I'm talking about being faithful. Faithfulness will give us power to learn and to love and also to live. Look in verse 17. "If any man will do his will," this goes right back to what I'm saying. Doing his will. What will? The will in the Bible. The will that Moses talked about and David talked about and John and the Bible, it tells us how to live. Verse 19 again, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law?" He said, "You know it, but you ain't living it." And the Bible, I'm talking about being faithful to the Word of God, getting in the end, and letting it change our lives. And when we do that, it helps us to live, to do his will, to do the commandments that we don't even really like or want to do. You see, the reason that he gave us the book, the Bible, is not just to thrill us, and even though it does, he gave it to us to change our lives, to make us live like it says to live. Isn't that what Jesus said? "You don't keep his law." That's what he pointed to. That was his emphasis. I'm trying to make it mine tonight. Why would the Lord bless us if we're not doing his will? He won't do much. Now, in mercy, I prayed in the men's prayer room, "Lord, I got aches and pains and problems and things, but I'll tell you what, I am blessed." There's so much. I know so many people in so much worse shape than I am. I am thankful for God's goodness to me, and I do not deserve his blessings. And his blessings many times are just him being merciful. It ain't because I deserve it. He gives us power to live. when we get in this book. You see, that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to enable us. Back up a little bit. He gave us the Holy Spirit to get us excited, to help us to shout, to sing, to have joy, to have peace, to be comforted, and every one of those things are true. But the real reason, the primary reason he gave us the Holy Spirit is to work through us, to help us live what this Bible says. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in us, one reason. And that's why he said, if any man will do his will, he'll get a blessing, he'll get to help. You see, what we must do is yield to the Holy Spirit. We must yield control to him who lives in us. And if we get in this book, it'll stir in us, the Holy Spirit will stir in us a desire to do what it says. If we get in this book, it'll show us where we failed and help us turn to get right, to do what he wants us to do. Jesus, didn't Moses give you the law? You're not good, you're not doing the law. You're not keeping the law. Well, he gave us the law, the book, the Bible, to help us to do it. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us as we get in this book. So we yield to the Holy Spirit's work. And if we don't, then we're in control instead of him. Guess what? That ain't going to work out too good. We ain't going to live for him in our own power. You hear that so much, but it's the truth. So we yield to him. And the more we yield, the more he helps us. And the more we yield, the more power is worked and generated in our lives to where he enables to do what we can't do to live for him. On the other hand, the more we resist, the more we refuse, the more we ignore, the more we shun, the less work in our hearts and lives. He does not leave, but he's no longer in control. And therefore, all of a sudden, I am no longer able to live for him because I'm not yielded to him. Get into this book and let the Holy Spirit show you and teach you and enable you and direct you. And that's what he's saying. I know some wonderful orators. I know some tremendous singers. I know some very talented, and I'm not thinking about anybody, and I'm making general statements. Very, very talented, very able people, Christian people. But their preaching, teaching, singing, living may be dead, dry, barren, no help, no moving, no changed lives, because they miss that power the only Holy Spirit can give you. And the Holy Spirit gives that power to live when we get in this book. Let this book get in us. I hope you're getting this. Great words, great ability, great singing, great music, great all kinds of stuff, but nothing, because the Holy Spirit's not in it. And that means that that person or those people have become the ones that's in charge, in control. My talent, my ability, what I know. Well, wait a minute, what about the Holy Spirit? And that's why we need him. And he says, you get in this book, you get in this book, you be faithful to what I say and learn it and live it and you love it, and you'll find out what the Holy Spirit can do. And the only reset button to get back to where I'm no longer in charge, I'm no longer in control, it's no longer me, the only reset button, the only way to get back is confession and repentance. Only way. If I try harder, it just gets worse. Try to learn more, try and talk louder, it just gets worse. because it's the Holy Spirit. Well, let's get to the end. We have been talking about Him talking to us. The question is, my Father has spoken to you through the book. Are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you willing to listen? If you are, you're in for some good things. If you aren't, you're not going to get much, and He'll probably just stop speaking. Could have closed the same way I did last time. The mother of Jesus said, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That's what I've been taught about. Let's stand together just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed, no music, singing.